Well, tonight, I just want to begin by saying that the Word of God, the Bible, is a book of blessings, a book of promises. It promises us salvation and freedom and comfort and healing and strength and hope and provision and wisdom and joy and peace and protection and power and purpose for living. And that's just the beginning. I mean, it is so full of blessings and promises that are available to us. And we in America today, we have the Bible more available than any time or any place ever in history. I mean, it's all around us. Most of us have it. I mean, we have just multiple copies. And if not like this, you know, leather and paper, we got it on our computers and on our phones and our iPads. And you can read it on the internet and you can listen to it at any time. And it's amazing how we have it all around us. And yet, for all of that, it seems like a lot of us are just missing out on so many of the blessings of God and the things that God has for us. And I want to say that I want to live in all God has for me. And I want to, as a pastor, I want to see God's people live in all that God has for them. And I want you to understand that just because we have a Bible and just because there's these blessings and promises in the Bible, they're not automatic. And here's another deception. They're not just for the lucky. Well, who's it for? How's this work? See, just because you own a Bible doesn't mean you're going to get anything out of it or benefit from it. You can even get born again and be, you know, going to heaven and yet miss so many of the blessings of God that He has for you in this life. So we're going to go to James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. And we'll keep coming back to this passage, but James 1, 21 through 25, therefore lay aside all the filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You might turn me down just a little bit, because I'm way down here and I'm loud. This one will be blessed in what he does. This one will be blessed in what he does. Notice it does not say all will be blessed. All will be blessed. Hallelujah. That's not what it says. It says this one will be blessed. Which one? The one who is a doer of the word of God. Not a hearer only, deceiving them on selves, but the one who is a doer of the word of God. This is a message that is not popular today in the church in America. Y'all got quiet. But the key to blessing is doing the Word of God. I know that raises some questions, and we're going to go to the Word of God to find our answers. That's the only place you can get the right answers. But there are a lot of misconceptions about the blessings of God. Knowing the truth is what sets free. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus hanging on the cross, on the tree, he took the curse for us. that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 14, he tells us that the blessings of Abraham are for us, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. This is real important because there is a huge segment of Christianity in America today that wants to tell you that all of the blessings of the Old Testament and even most of the blessings of the New Testament are not really for you. Right here he says that because of Jesus, the blessings of Abraham are for us. So even back to Abraham, even before the law, the blessings of God that were mentioned there are for us. We need to know that. But then verse 13 tells us plainly that the curse of the law has been removed. Thank God. We're forgiven. We're not under the curse of the law. We don't have to fear the curse of the law. And it is because of God's grace that we are saved, not any other way. That's the only way. But I just want you to hear a little bit of this. I mean, I'm not going to read it all to you, but and there's a lot of it in here. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, he says, starting in verse 15, "It shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the country." He goes on and he says, "Cursed shall you be when you come in, cursed shall you be when you go out." He says things like, "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them." He goes on and he says, "You shall betroth the wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house that you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not gather its grapes. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat any of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken from before you, and you shall not..." Listen, I know some of you think, "I ain't got no donkey." You got to get the principle, the spirit of the word here. This how terrible this was for these people. He says, "Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no strength in your hand." Horrible curses. We've been delivered from all of that. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we're not living under that curse anymore. Thank God. Did you know that Jesus didn't take our blessings away? He took the curse. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says that Jesus took the blessings. Search for it. It's not in there. Never did Jesus take the blessings away from us. There are blessings that come on us when we obey God. It is as simple as that. In fact, let me just read a few of the blessings to you. He says, "Now it shall come to pass when you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." He says things like, "Blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you, to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way, but they'll flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and to all to which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." He goes on and he says things like, "And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock and the produce of your ground, the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath." Listen, so many blessings that he tells us if we obey the word of the Lord. But I'm telling you the truth tonight, there's nowhere where Jesus or any scripture takes that away. But it also doesn't say that because of Jesus, all of those things are automatic to us. It doesn't say that. Jesus took the curse away, but there is still a blessing upon obeying the Word of God. And you're going to see it over and over in the New Testament in the teachings of Jesus. See, a lot of believers, you know, they say, well, you know what? All we have to do is believe. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is believe. Well, that is absolutely right if you believe like Abraham did. Galatians 3:9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Well, how did Abraham believe? See, I just want you to understand that that one verse is not the whole Bible. This is how so many people get into such error today. They get one verse or even just a phrase and they steamroll over every other scripture. They just rule all the rest of them out because they think this one scripture is the only thing that matters. No, they all fit together. And when you put them all together, you get real truth that's life-changing and brings the blessing of God on your life. There's two major misconceptions about obedience and blessing. The first one is that we receive blessings by earning them through keeping the law. We can't. We're not gonna earn and deserve God's goodness and God's blessing and His grace. Listen, it doesn't matter what you do the whole entire rest of your life, He will never, ever, ever owe you. We will always be in His debt. So we don't earn something from Him. The second major misconception, though, is that because of grace, as long as we believe, as long as we say we believe, it doesn't matter how we live. What a lie. I want you to hear me now. God will not bless disobedience. When we're doing wrong, God is not going to say, well, you know what? You're just doing wrong, but I'm just going to bless you anyway. I mean, you're treating your wife bad. You refuse to respect your husband, but you know what? I'm just going to bless your marriage anyway. It doesn't work that way. People reading books about how to raise their children, reading books written by people that don't know anything about the Word of God, and they're raising their kids according to these books, but expecting the blessing of God to be on their children. Foolish. God doesn't bless disobedience. You see, the real issue here is that when we say we believe, but we don't do what He says, that's a dead faith. James says it very clearly that faith without works is dead. And that kind of faith can't do anything. A living faith always has action to it. And if we believe what God says, we'll do it. Now, I told you, if we want the blessings of Abraham, we need to believe like Abraham. Here's how Abraham believed. Hebrews 11:17-19 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham had such amazing faith that when God told him, you take your only son Isaac and you take him and you sacrifice him to me, that Abraham was willing to do it. That is faith. Willing to do whatever God says. Now, what do you think would have happened if Abraham said, oh, wait a minute, come on, that isn't necessary. You know, God, it's all good between you and me. I don't really have to do that. You would have never heard his name, that's what. And God would have raised somebody else up. But Abraham had such faith that he believed everything's going to be fine. I'll just obey God. He'll raise him from the dead. Y'all are way too quiet. But I'm telling you, this is the truth. You see, we want to say we have faith. James talks about that. He says even the demons believe and tremble. Real faith is when we're willing to obey God. If we're not willing to obey God, we don't trust Him. We don't believe what He says. Real faith is always evidenced by what we do. Can't use faith and God's grace as some kind of lame excuse for not obeying God any more than we can earn the blessings of God by keeping the law. But when we obey the Scripture, it is proof that we believe. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. We'll just read 19 and 20 for now. He says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments, and I want you to notice he says the least of these commandments, and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says very plainly, if we break the commands and we teach others to do so, which is the whole lot of that going on right now, we will be least in the kingdom. But if we do and teach the commandments, we'll be great in the kingdom. You see, a kingdom has a king, and Jesus is our king. You know, there was a time at the end of the book of Judges, it says they had no king and every man did what he thought was right in his own eyes. And that's the theme of morality in America today, and not just ungodly, worldly, unregenerate people, but even among born-again Christians. I do what I think is right. No, we have a king and we do what he says. If we're not willing to do what he says, he's not truly our king. We can't just call him Lord. We have to be willing to obey what he says. Now, this passage, I want you to understand something. The very next verse. See, we like to separate this stuff out sometimes. We don't look at it in context. The very next verse, he's talking about obedience and disobedience. He's talking about teaching people to obey or not. And then he says, for I say, here it comes, for I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, we all know that none of us can be righteous before God because of our good deeds. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We all know that. We are made righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. But we also need to understand that in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5 here, Jesus is not talking about a positional righteousness. He's not talking about your right standing with God. If you do a word study on the word righteous or righteousness, yes, that's one of the ways that it can be understood and translated. But here in this passage, he's talking about doing right. He's talking about obedience and disobedience. He just got through saying, if you obey and you teach others, you'll be great in the kingdom. For if your righteousness does not exceed that of the Pharisees, no way you'll enter in. Let's talk about the Pharisees for a minute. See, a lot of people, they think that the Pharisees were so devout and religious. Well, they were devout and religious. They were great rule keepers. Listen to me. They kept rules made by men. Rules of religion rather than obeying the king. Listen, they even separated out the commands into what they deemed to be the great commands and then the lesser commands. That's why Jesus specifically says in that passage, he says, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments, because they had separated them out. There's these big commands and then there's little ones that don't really matter. And did you know that is exactly the way most Christians live their lives? There's like, you know, depending on how spiritual you are, Some people just got two or three commands that they don't break. Some got 10 or 15. But then there's a whole slew of commands that they have deemed to be, well, that's not really important. They make pretty good Pharisees. Man, I want you to hear me right now. This is to bless you, because I'm telling you, there's a mountain of blessings available to you. And I'm teaching you, I'm telling you tonight why a lot of the time we're missing out on so much that God has for us. I'm not talking about living by works. I'm talking about obedience. I'm talking about doing what the Lord wants us to do. We need to get this. We can't decide when, you know what? I know the Bible says that, but I don't care about that. You know, as long as I don't do this and I don't do that, we're good. I want to tell you right now, God loves us. He forgives us. He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, He loves you. Yes, He forgives. But we can't play this game where we just say, you know what, it doesn't matter if I obey or not. God will not bless disobedience. Yeah, He forgives you. Yes, He loves you. He will not bless disobedience. So many Christians just kind of pick and choose which commands they obey. But I want you to understand that Jesus, the one who's full of truth and grace, He does not lower the standard of doing what's right. He raises the bar because He makes it where it has to be from the heart. He teaches things like Matthew 5, 21 and 22. You've heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. He didn't lower the bar. He raised the bar. It's a higher standard than you shall not kill. See, a lot of people have the idea that in the Old Testament, well, we had to live by all those rules. But, you know, now it's all good because we're under grace. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does. It is amazing to me that there are preachers today saying that you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. Good grief. Jesus says if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, that all of the law and the prophets hang on these two. What He's saying is, if you really do those two, you keep all of the law and the prophets. That's what that means. You don't just say you love God and then go out and worship money. Say you love your neighbor as yourself, but you commit adultery with your neighbor's wife. Come on. You heard it said of those, Matthew 5, 27 through 29. You've heard it said of those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Hello, pornography. Wow, it's quiet in here. See, it's not about outward rules. It's about motives and desires of the heart. And Jesus just raised the bar, and He does it over and over and over through the whole Sermon on the Mount. You know, in this chapter, He talks about how to treat others, to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, pray for those who mistreat us. Do we take those to heart and say, you know what, that's the way I'm going to live? Because if you do, it'll bring a blessing of God on your life. See, these are commands of our Savior, and we obey them. If we obey them and we teach others, we're going to be great in the kingdom. Now, that's just one chapter. He goes on into chapter 6, and he talks about how our attitude should be about prayer. And he tells us that when we pray, that we have to forgive, or our Father will not forgive us. It's amazing to me how people have taken that out of the Bible. They just say, oh, well, that's before the cross. Good grief. I believe the teachings of my Savior. He tells us how we should give. He tells us to seek the kingdom first and his righteousness. Chapter 7, he tells us not to judge, and he tells us how we can know them by their fruits. And he concludes this great sermon with these words in Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Obedience is so important, and it's so much a part of the teachings of Jesus. It's even part of the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I'm going to read it from the NIV. It says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and tell them it doesn't matter how they live. No, that's not what it says. It says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. This is after the death and resurrection. Jesus, the resurrected Lord, he's already paid the price, but he gives us this charge. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. This is a big part of so much of what is wrong with the church in America today, is they've been taught that you don't have to obey. Well, God knows my heart. Yes, he knows your heart. And I'll tell you, if we're not living right on the outside, guess where it comes from? Jesus says all these things come from within a man, out of his heart. You see, we need to tell people the truth. The Lord loves them, and he wants a relationship with them. He's paid the price for their sin. But don't soft sell Jesus. Don't try to make him more acceptable so that people will hear him or accept him in their life. You need to hear this now. They need to know that when we come to Jesus, we're making him our Lord. We're bowing our knee to him. This is so twisted and so wrong where people get this idea that, well, you know what? You just pray this prayer and that's it. You pray this prayer. Give him your life. Turn your life over to him. This is real. You let him be king and Lord in your life. I want to tell you, your life will radically change. But what a lot of people do, they just add a little dab of Jesus to their life. They just go right on with their life. But, you know, yeah, I've done that. They've been inoculated. Can't teach that obedience isn't important. We got to tell people. Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. I just need some help. Anybody believe that? Yes. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I'm with you to the end of the age. That doesn't mean that you have to be a teacher. It means that, you know, it's not that complicated. You teach your children, you teach your friends, your brothers and sisters to obey. You know, it's just we don't water it down, but we tell people, yeah, you got to obey the Lord. Now we'll come back to a little more teaching of Jesus in a few minutes, but I want to go ahead and work through that passage in James. We want to learn how to really walk in all the blessings that God has for us. I'm going to tell you, obedience is the key. We're going to begin again from verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness, the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. He observes himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Four major points here. First, we got to receive the word. We got to accept it. Second, we got to do it. Third, to do it, we got to continue in it. We have to remember it. And fourth, when we do that, we're blessed. So first, receive the word. He says, be meek. You got to be humble. You got to be willing to receive. There's a lot of people that are not really willing to accept it, to receive it into their life. I mean, there's some people, they sit with folded arms, and even if they didn't fold them on the outside, they got this attitude like, I want to tell you, if it's the words of man, ignore it all you want to. But when it's the word of God, you better receive it. But that's the first step. I mean, as long as you reject it, that seed of the word of God is going to be snatched away by the evil one, and it will never bring forth any fruit in your life. Then he says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And there's that key to blessing. It's being a doer of the word. And notice again, he says, when we don't, we deceive our own selves. You are lying to yourself. Anytime that you disobey the word of God, you know better, you know what it says, but you go ahead and do what you want or what you think, you have deceived yourself. It's amazing how we can just invent ways to get around the word of God, but the result is it always keeps us from a blessing. Verse 23 and 24, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and he goes away and he forgets what manner of man he was. See, we got to remember the word of God. It's not like we lose all recollection of it, but somehow we just kind of lay it aside. And here's the thing, we need to keep coming back to it. We need to keep it before us, you know, like a mirror, that we don't forget who we are and who we're supposed to be. The word of God tells us, and we have to keep it before us. Keep going back to it. Get it down in your heart. One morning I got up and I looked in the mirror and I thought, oh man, I need to fix my hair. I had a bad case of bedhead. You know what I'm saying? This stuff. And then I got dressed and everything and I left. I forgot. I forgot what manner of man I was. Here I am looking like an idiot with my hair sticking up. And when I saw a mirror and I finally realized it, I was kind of mad at Carmen for letting me leave like that. I was thinking, you know, she probably dislikes this because she knows no women are going to be flirting with bedhead men. And here I am. That's a pretty good picture of a Christian that doesn't stay in the word. Spiritually, they just look like an idiot. Just floundering around, looking foolish. Trying to talk spiritual, trying to act like they're a spiritual person, but not obeying God, not doing what they're supposed to be doing. We got to stay in the word so we get it right. The perfect law, it says, that gives freedom. See, it'll set you free. But you got to stay in the word. James says, continue in it. See, you review it. You meditate on it. You go over it and over it. See, anybody in here know how to worry? Everybody that didn't raise your hand, we know that you, I'm not going to call you a liar. I'm just saying, we know better. We know that you know how to, we all know how to worry. What is worry? It's going over and over negative circumstance or possibilities even. Well, meditation is just like that, but you're going over and over the Word of God, the truth of Scripture. You just keep going over it and over it in your mind. I want to tell you, when you do that, when you meditate the Word of God, you get it down inside of you where you won't forget it. It stays with you. You get it down in your heart that way. In Joshua 1:8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do." See, what's the key to doing it? Meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Prosperous and successful? Yes, when you do what the scripture says. Yes, grace gives us the power to begin fresh and new. His mercies are new every morning. Grace does not give us the power to live in sin and be blessed. Why would we want to live in it any longer? Sin is bondage. But the perfect law of liberty gives freedom. This one will be blessed in what he does. We have to do the word of God. James 1, in the very next verse, he says, "If any one of you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." Now, this is a great example. There's a lot of people that they don't bridle their tongue. They say all kinds of foolish things. They use language they shouldn't use. I even hear preachers saying things from a pulpit they shouldn't even say in private conversation. It's amazing to me the kind of stuff that people are saying today. But not just about things that are improper, talking about people, you know, saying ugly things about people, gossiping about people, putting other people down, all kinds of things. And here's the thing, it's going to come back on them. How do I know that? Because the Word of God makes it real clear in the book of James that our tongue can set a fire, cause all kinds of problems. But when we use them the right way, it brings blessing. I just want you to realize in every area of life, God's Word gives us instruction so that we can be blessed. We'll close with this one back from Jesus. Matthew 7, 21 through 27. We just read the first verse earlier. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" What's that mean? They do what they want instead of doing what Jesus wants. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." What's the rock? Doing what Jesus said. That's it. Not carrying a Bible, not going to church, not living by certain commands, doing what Jesus said. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Jesus, full of grace, full of truth. That's Jesus. And I tell you, he loves you. He's got so many good things for us, so much he wants to pour into our lives, blessings. But we got to be a people who truly allow him to be Lord and King and obey him in whatever the scripture says. I mean, when the King says it, when we read it, when we hear the Word of God, that we've just make up our mind 100%. Doesn't matter how I like it. Doesn't matter how uncomfortable it makes me. Doesn't matter what I've thought in the past. This is what the Word of God says. Jesus says this. I'm going to do what Jesus says. Period. Enough of this baloney where people say, "Well, I don't have to forgive them. I'm just not going to do that." And they put themselves under a curse of bitterness that will eat at their soul until they get right with God. And you know what? That's just one example. So many examples we could talk about. So many people that refuse to put God first in their finances. They say, oh, I don't have to do that. The last thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to close. I've said it so many times, but it is the truth. The reason that people don't tithe is not because they don't believe you have to. It's because they don't believe the blessing that He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain, and He'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. I'm telling you, that promise is for us. And it ain't a matter if you have to. If you believe the promise, who would want to miss out on that deal? But I'm just telling you, there's so many commands through the Scripture. And every one of them, when we obey them, it opens the door for more blessings in our life. Don't miss them. Don't miss them. This one will be blessed. Stand with me. We're going to pray.